fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
There are strange facts surrounding the coronavirus outbreak of 2020. In 2018, the Peerbright Institute was granted a patent for the coronavirus. The Peerbright Institute is funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. On October 18th of 2019, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, along with John Hopkins and the World Economic Forum, hosted Event 201, a high-level pandemic simulation in New York City. The simulation, which was held just 3 months ago, was based on the coronavirus. They concluded that it could kill 65 million people and decided the solution was to have a vaccine within months of an epidemic. The same week that the coronavirus makes headlines, Netflix releases the docuseries Pandemic: How to Prevent an Outbreak, wherein the solution is vaccines and the trusted hero is Bill Gates. Meanwhile, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation fund Inovio Pharmaceuticals, Inc. to develop a coronavirus vaccine. It's weird, right? Or am I just a conspiracy theorist? What about this? 5G, an emerging technology upgrade that has many countries concerned about its impact on human health. Experts from all over the world warn of the dangers of 5G. In 2018, it was reported locally that Wuhan would be the testbed city for full 5G network operation in China. The article went on to say that it would be fully operational by 2020. And on Halloween of 2019, they turned it on. Scientists warn that 5G causes flu-like symptoms. Interesting? What is also interesting is that when trying to share the link of 5G being launched in Wuhan, Facebook blocks you from doing so because it violates their community guidelines. For Infowars.com, this is Greg Reese.
News today.
InfoWars presents Real Stable Genius.
Real Stable Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fake News Anchorman.
Mr. Fake News Anchorman.
Night after night, you robotically read off a teleprompter words written by someone else.
I thank my writer.
When it comes out what you reported was fake, you feel no guilt. After all, you were just doing your job.
It's not my fault.
Less and less tune in every night, but that won't hurt your ego because you're on television.
Look at me!
So crack open an ice-cold cuck light, Mr. Fake News Anchorman. Because despite the fancy suit and big salary, we know you're just a puppet.
What the hell did I just read?
Cuck light, InfoWarsStore.com, Austin, Texas.
I want to talk about Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste because I hadn't tried it except for maybe the last week and a half. And I told Alex, I said, man, this is the best toothpaste I've ever tried. He's like, well, what are you doing just sitting in here telling me? You got to get up there and tell people. And so here I am telling people, Super Silver Whitening Toothpaste is by far the best toothpaste I've ever tried. And I'm 45 years old and I've tried a lot of different toothpaste. And it's fluoride free. I think the big difference, the game changer in this is the coral calcium, because after I brush my teeth with this, they feel so clean, and the toothpaste, that I don't even like rinse out my mouth after I brush my teeth with this. It feels so good. It feels like good things are happening in my mouth. In fact, I find myself brushing my teeth 3 to 4 times a day rather than just twice a day now because I like the way it feels.
We'll be right back. Stafford filling in today. And I want to remind everybody, regular viewers already know, today is the Veterans Call-In Show. So if you are a veteran, if you served our country, please call in. We want to hear from you. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. It is for veterans only today. We want to hear from those who served our country. But today is Friday. The impeachment charade appears to be finally winding down. It looks like the Republicans will have the votes to block calling witnesses. Now, this can be both a good thing and a bad thing, because it means we're not going to get to hear excerpts from John Bolton's new book. I know you were just waiting on the edge of your seat for that. But it also means we're not going to hear from Hunter Biden. We're not going to hear from Adam Schiff. We're not going to hear from Eric Ciaramella, the alleged supposed whistleblower. But you're not allowed to say that. You know, they tried to arrest Rand Paul yesterday for suggesting that maybe we should talk about Eric Ciaramella, not even identifying him as the whistleblower, just saying, hey, let's hear from this kid. What's he doing? Do you know what he's doing? So today, Lisa Murkowski, one of the biggest rhino Republican establishment senators, indicated that she will not vote to hear witnesses. Now, there are those, the Democrats love these polls. They say 70% of the country wants to hear witnesses. Some say 75%. And they make it sound like this is an indictment of President Trump. What it really means is the majority of Americans are intelligent human beings, and some are Democrats who don't know any better, and they just want to hear John Bolton trash the president. You know, they all hated John Bolton when he was the architect of the Iraq War, when he was begging for military conflict just for fun. I mean, there is not a country John Bolton does not want to invade deep down. But a lot of Democrats just want to hear from John Bolton, but a lot of Republicans, a lot of intelligent pro-Trump populace, a lot of this audience, I certainly imagine, would like to very much to hear from Hunter Biden. We'd like to hear maybe what Paul Pelosi Jr. was doing in Ukraine. We'd like to hear about what Romney's family was doing in Ukraine. You've got all of these different children, the black sheep children of these major politicians who all have business in Ukraine. It all seems to be in energy and oil. It's very, very strange. Hey, maybe we could hear from this Eric Ciaramella fellow. Maybe we could actually have Schiff have to testify under oath. No, but we can't have that. Mitch McConnell doesn't want there to be any witnesses. And of course, they've cooked up this ridiculous stunt with John Bolton. Just today, more of his book leaked. This book that he's not even allowed to publish because it's full of national security secrets. More of it keeps on leaking from our friends at the Washington Post and our friends at the New York Times, the two stalwarts of establishmentarian journalism. They just keep dripping and drabbing it out. I honestly am not sure what they're going for here, because it would be a royal disaster for the Democrats and for the globalists to have these witnesses. The reason why they don't want to have witnesses is because they don't want to discuss Mitt Romney's family ties to people who do things in Ukraine for money. People don't want to hear from Hunter Biden. The Republican Party, the establishment, has every reason in the world to avoid these witnesses, and the Democrats have even more. But let's turn for the rest of this segment. And please remember, today is the Veterans Call-In Show. We would love to hear from our nation's veterans. That number is 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. Veterans Call-In Show today. Let's talk about Wuhan, China. Let's talk about the deadly coronavirus. We're working on a report right now at nationalfile.com. Facebook will now ban you if you share information related to the Wuhan-centric coronavirus. That is, I mean, you're talking upwards of 100,000 people in China are locked down. They're in quarantine. They can't go to the grocery store. They're not supposed to leave their house. You go online and you see them out on their balcony screaming, "Be strong, Wuhan!" So if you share something Facebook considers to be a conspiracy about coronavirus, you will be banned, the post will be taken down, and you essentially will have committed the grave crime of writing fake news. Now, all this happens. I mean, right now, we have this mainstream media. They hyped up Ebola. They hyped up bird flu. They hyped up SARS. They hype up every little thing. But now when it comes to coronavirus, no, we don't want to talk about coronavirus. We don't want to hear anything about coronavirus. It's not a big deal. And there's no, it's a coincidence that this is the first city that had 5G. It's a coincidence that these people were eating bats. It's a coincidence that there was a Harvard professor who just got arrested for the alleged crime of working for China at a university while he was a scientist there. It's all just coincidental. And now there's this. New article is up at nationalfile.com. Scientist explains new study revealing coronavirus may have links to HIV. And I should just note, this has not been peer reviewed yet because this is all breaking news. This is all just coming out. We are learning about the coronavirus more and more every single day. And I also want to say I'm not Mike Adams. I'm not a genius when it comes to this stuff like he is. But it is strange. Epidemiologist and public health scientist Dr. Eric Feingold-Ding took to Twitter to explain a new study that claims to have found a link between the novel Chinese coronavirus and HIV. The study, which comes from Bioxrev, is titled Uncanny Similarity of Unique Inserts in the 2019 nCoV Spike Protein to HIV-1, GP120, and GAG. Quote, we found four insertions in the spike glycoprotein S, which are unique to the 2019 nCoV and are not present in other coronaviruses, the report's abstract section states. Importantly, amino acid residues in all the four inserts have identity or similarity to those in the HIV-1 GP120 or HIV-1 GAG. They essentially break down that this does not seem to have come from bats. This does not seem to have come from an animal and then gone into a human. And it is also evolving quickly. They say that instead of DNA, it has RNA strands, which would seem to indicate it came from a plant and not an animal. And we also know that as it goes from human to human, it is evolving rapidly. I mean, I'm not here to create a conspiracy theory, but it certainly seems as though this is quite a bit for a virus that started in a bat or in a snake or any of the means that they claim. It seems very strange and it seems very dangerous. Last week or earlier this week even, we had the WHO come out, the World Health Organization, we had them come out and say, this is a global pandemic in the making. Be very concerned, but keep traveling. If you want to go to Wuhan, go to Wuhan. No big deal. You can travel. Commerce should keep going. The Dow is just now starting, the stock market is just now starting to seemingly understand that the coronavirus exists. We're starting to see a little bit of a downturn, and I'm sure that's why. It'll be a matter of time. President Trump still has said virtually nothing about coronavirus. He tweeted out thanks to Xi Jinping, Winnie the Pooh. There's been virtually nothing from the United States government about this. And even Dr. Steve Pachinik, who came on this program earlier this week to say, hey, this is not the end of the world. We're going to get through this. It can be treated. Even he says it seems to be no action on the part of the United States government. Now there's 21 people in Chicago that are suspected of transmitting or being sick with the coronavirus. There is a suspected case in Texas. There's suspected cases on the West Coast. The UK is bringing in people, Britons, they're bringing them back to the country, and they're immediately putting them in quarantine mode. Why don't we do this? It seems like our government is just not quite willing to do what needs to be done, and I don't really get it. We have the USMCA, we have impeachment, and nobody wants to talk about coronavirus. But you know, the other people suffering in all of this, I should note, are the Democrats. Do you know they have a primary or a caucus or something on Tuesday? Iowa. We're going to start voting. When was the last time you heard about that? Nobody is talking about it. We've got a story, by the way, about what the DNC tried to do to Bernie Sanders with the help of some Facebook experts, I guess. We're going to bring that up later on in the show. Of course, we have callers lined up. We'll get to your calls in the next segment. I'm Tom Papert. You are watching The War Room. I'm filling in for Owen Schroyer today. He's still sick. Hopefully, he will be back next week and healthy. Thanks for watching. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm Tom Papert, filling in for Owen Schroyer today. Check out my website, nationalfile.com. I want to do a quick reminder. Today is the Friday Veterans Call-In Show. If you served our country, we want to hear from you. The number to call in is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. And we've already got a few callers on the line. Let's start with Philip, who is an Army veteran from the great state of Georgia. Philip, welcome to the War Room.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Philip, for calling in. So tell us your thoughts on what's happening. Just give us the lay of the land. You obviously, and thank you for your service, by the way, but we have impeachment. We have coronavirus. What are your thoughts? What happens next?
Well, first off, I think the veteran, most of us, we are pretty much well prepped. We have ammo, we have weapons, we have food. And I think our problem is trying to encourage our family members to do the same. And when stuff does hit the fan, I've already told my family members, I said, you know what, I'll take your kids, but you got to find somewhere else to go. We beat this drum so many times and so hard that if they don't get it now, they're never going to get it. And why should they benefit from our fruits of our labor? I'm sorry, I'm nervous.
No, you're fine, and you bring up a great point. I mean, this is something where not our nation's veterans know how to do this better than anyone. That's you're taught to do it. And then I guess you come home and you do what you're taught, which is completely reasonable. And the greater population, I mean, myself included, I've got a little bit of storable food and I know how to store some water. But if things were to get bad, I would be one of these people getting trampled at a Walmart trying to get produce. And when it's, you know, two bananas and a can of beans left on the shelves. So this is something, and I'm really glad you brought this up. Of course, InfoWarsStore.com is a place you can get storable foods. They're selling out. I mean, everything is selling out right now because people weren't thinking ahead like you and your family and getting this stuff prepared years in advance. What's your message to these folks who only now are starting to understand the importance of making sure your family is protected?
Well, it all first started with Iran and possible war with them, and everybody was all worried. And I said, well, what are you going to do? And they said, well, we don't know. And I'm like, well, do you have any other plans on what you're going to be doing afterwards when you can't go to the store? And they still don't. They're very dependent on other people. So that's one thing that we I bought the, well, I won't say that, but what we are just well. And but another point I wanted to touch on is these vaccines that they're wanting to push out. I was actually hit with a couple of vaccines whenever I had gone into the emergency room, and it was really, really funny. They had hit me with two shots in the leg because it was too big to be injected into the arm. And literally within 30 minutes, the place of the most high that Alex Jones always talks about, it literally kicked me out. And for the next 5 years, I was emotionally just falling from where I was. And I think what's happening is that they want to get the children before they you know, complete the whole, the mind becoming, you know, synchronized from to the heart, to the spirit. And when that happens, you become very, you know, you can be manipulated, and it's you can see it with children. If you have an unvaccinated child compared to a vaccinated child, it's night and day. They're talking when they're 6 months. They're
right
crawling. The worst part is that nobody can actually see what happened to you because you look fine on the outside, but it on the inside it's wrecked. It's completely just destroyed.
Well, you know, you can even tell the difference between kids, or I guess young adults now, who had like the vaccine schedule from the 1990s, where it was, you know, maybe 10 vaccines, compared to now, where it's like 80 vaccines, and they keep adding more and more every single year. I mean, anybody who has a brain should be skeptical of this stuff, especially, I mean, why are there secret vaccine courts? Why can you not hold these companies directly responsible? Why is the UN in leaked video admitting that, yes, people die, and we need better explanations? explanations. Nobody has debunked that, by the way. All the fact checkers are just totally letting that one slide. That's just a thing that happened. The UN is freaking out and saying, hey, we need better explanations because we want to keep sticking people with these needles, but they're dying. And we need to do something about that, like get a better explanation. So, Philip, thank you so much. Such great information. And I cannot recommend Philip's suggestion that folks at home, now is the time. I mean, it's crunch time. Anything bad, we have a bubble that's the biggest bubble probably since the Great Depression. It could pop at any second. Most people are not independent. Most people are not self-sufficient. I mean, I have family who live on big ranches, and even they are not self-sufficient. You know, they have chickens, they have hogs, they have all kinds. They grow vegetables in the spring, but it's almost impossible for a normal American citizen at this point, unless you really live on a farm out in the middle of the boonies, and unless you've got food stocked up for years to come, it's almost impossible to be prepared for the worst case scenario. Now is a great time to do that, and this is a good incentive. You have this giant bubble. You have coronavirus spreading throughout the world. Now is a great time to go to InfoWarsStore.com. And again, I spoke, just like Alex did. You saw his interview the other day. I spoke to the folks at My Patriot Supply, where InfoWars gets all of its store food, and he's worried. The competition is already unable to fulfill the orders. They'll take your money. You know, you can do a 365-day supply of food. It's like $1,000 or $2,000 from some of the competition. You buy that, and then they tell you, oh, it's going to be like 6 months before we can send it out. Yeah, we're out of food. And part of the reason for that is, of course, the government is coming in and they're buying up all the supply. That way they can put it in the FEMA camps. That way they can make sure their family and their people are taken care of, but that doesn't do anything for you or your family. So now is a great time to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Stock up on InfoWars Life Select storable foods. It's delicious stuff from what I've been told. I've seen it. I know for a fact that Alex Jones buys this. It is in his house. It will keep you and your family provided for. It's insurance that you can eat. You know, why do we have car insurance in case something bad happens? Why do we have life insurance? So our family will be provided for in case something terrible happens. Why do we have any type of insurance to prepare for the worst possible thing? Why do I have renter's insurance in case someone breaks into my apartment while I'm here in the war room and steals all my stuff? It's why we have insurance. So why would you not get insurance that you can eat at InfoWarsStore.com? The lines are starting to fill up, but remember, today is the Veterans Call-In Show. Every single Friday right here on the War Room, whether it's me, whether it's Owen, whether it's Savannah, whether it's Harrison, we will always love to take calls from our nation's veterans. One more time, that phone number to call in is 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. When we come back, we're going to hear from Jim. We're going to hear from Thomas. We're going to hear from everybody who calls in today who has served our country. And of course, we've got all these stacks of news in front of us. WHO advises against travel restrictions after declaring coronavirus a public health emergency. A dog actually prevented its owner from going to Wuhan by tearing up her passport. A Lancet study warns of inevitable outbreaks of coronavirus due to the symptomless nature of the illness. Shots were fired earlier today outside President Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort. Trump is trolling Nancy Pelosi. We are swimming.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/show.
This is The War Room. I'm Tom Papert, editor-in-chief, nationalfile.com, filling in for Owen today on this final Friday of the month. We are taking calls from our nation's veterans exclusively. Lines are starting to fill up, but please, there are still lines available. 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. We love to hear from our nation's veterans final Friday of every month. Let's go to Jim, who is a Marine from Illinois, who wants to talk about Owen being sick. And my goodness, I hope the man's okay. Jim, welcome to War Room.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Doing great, Jim.
I love you guys, and I love when you fill in as well. You do a great job.
Thank you so much.
Can you hear me good?
We can hear you just fine, my friend.
All right, good. I was just going to mention, you know, it's kind of just a little bit too coincidental about Owen being arrested and then coming out and getting sick as a dog, obviously, for a whole week now.
Well, it is certainly crazy. I mean, and Owen, of course, came on Alex Jones as well as the War Room to talk about where he was held, the worst cell block of the worst jail in the D.C. area. You know, it sounds like he was there for 26 hours. He was counting cockroaches, dead versus alive, for fun. They didn't give him a pillow. They didn't give him a blanket. They typically they'll give you like saltine crackers and Spam to eat when you're in that kind of situation. So, I mean, they obviously wanted to punish him, knowing that the charges wouldn't stick. And yeah, now, I mean, he thought he would be okay today. Last night, he was telling everybody, yeah, I'm going to be back. I'm going to be in studio. I want to be there. And then this morning, it just hit him again like a ton of bricks. So it's... they obviously wanted to make him sick. They put him in a filthy, disgusting cell with a bunch of alleged rapists and murderers. So I honestly hope the man is better soon. It's as much fun as it is being here hosting. They wanted to make him sick, though. They wanted to make his life miserable, and it looks like they, to some extent, have succeeded. But Owen's got a great spirit. He's not going to let this get him down. And, of course, he's still working behind the scenes even while he's in bed half the time. The guy just cannot get away from the job. He doesn't want to get away from the job. But, Jim, did you want to add anything else?
Well, what I was going to say is, like I said, coincidental, to say the least. And you remember when they tried to poison Roger Stone? And I know you guys don't want to say it, but I'll tell you what, I think they hit him with something. That's just my opinion, okay?
Well, and Rogers, oh, you mean Owen. I mean, Owen has not said anything yet. I would not rule it out. I mean, at the very least, I think it's fair to say that by putting him in such a filthy, filthy confinement, they wanted this to happen. They wanted him to be taken out of the fight for as long as they possibly could. They do have, I mean, yes, there are clean cells in D.C. Not as good as the illegal immigrants get, mind you, but there are clean places to put people. So it's not outside the realm of possibility that something was done to Owen, but at the very least, they wanted him to get sick. They wanted him to be down for a week or two. God knows what it is. Probably a flu virus. It's the middle of winter, and of course, he was in D.C. He'd already been touring the country in the InfoWars battle tank, so his immune system was likely to be a little bit down. And then this, I'm sure, was the nail on the head. But thanks for calling, Jim, and thank you for your well wishes for Owen Schroyer.
Bye-bye.
Let's now go to Thomas, who is an Army veteran from the great state of Texas. Thomas, great name, my friend, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here. I just wanted to bring up one thing I haven't really seen reported is, you kind of alluded to it earlier when you said there's suspected 21 cases in Chicago, is that the total number of people that are still pending. Like Mike Adams had explained earlier, it's not like in a movie. We can't just swab these people's mouths and put it in a petri dish and it'll tell us something. There's a bottleneck, and you're seeing the numbers. I checked this. There's if you go to cdc.gov and you look at the coronaviruses page, they have a whole page for infections in USA, cases in the US, and they have a chart that has positive, negative, and pending in the total. Since I've been checking it, the pending went from 60 to 70 to 90, and now today it's 121. The negative are keeping up with it, but the fact that we got so many that we're still so unsure of, and every day I come and look at this, it's getting larger exponentially, is a statistic that needs to be out there. People need to realize this thing is way more moving than we realize it. It's just we don't have the ability to see it as quick as it's moving, I think. I think that's one major thing that's going to pop up and going to bite us, I think.
Well, you're absolutely correct, and this is why some of the movements from the government don't make any sense to me. Why are we not quarantining these people? Why are we not stopping mail from Wuhan, China? Go ahead.
Didn't they actually, the Americans that we brought back from China, didn't they go to Alaska first to get checked? Then they were going to land in a public airport in California, but didn't they go to a military base? And they are quarantined for, I think, 2 weeks, they said? I'm not sure on that. But
And thank God for that. No, you are absolutely correct. And there was some concern about that. Like, how come they were going to Alaska and then to Ontario, California, I believe it was. But yes, they have been sent down to, from my understanding, to a military airbase where they're going to be quarantined. But we have students coming back to the United States from China. We have the parents who are giving up a bedroom to bring in these foreign exchange students from China many times. I mean, this, and what you're really keying in on, 120 plus suspected cases. There is no easy way because it's asymptomatic for, I've heard, up to 8 days, and it's still contagious during the time that it's asymptomatic. So if you're breathing on somebody, or if you're on an airplane, if you're in a subway, if you're on a public bus where you're packed in like sardines and you're in close proximity to other people, it's going to be very difficult not to share some of those germs. And for 8 days, you don't even know if you're sick. Then you might go to the hospital, find out whether it's coronavirus or not. If it is coronavirus, everybody you came into contact with for those that week prior could and wind up getting sick as well. So you're right. This is one of the key things that makes this virus such a actual threat. It's not necessarily the mortality, which seems higher than the flu, but we're not talking like Ebola levels of mortality. It's the fact that it can spread like a wildfire before we even know. And if you can see online, they've got a graph, they've got charts where it's a vertical curve showing how many people are being diagnosed with this in Wuhan, China. I mean, you do not lock down 60 million plus Chinese people just on a whim. So Thomas, you are absolutely right to bring that up, my friend. Thank you for your service. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Yes, too. The fact that the fact that you pointed that out, that it's like four LAs they've already quarantined. Everyone needs to get ready now. If you don't have water, you don't have food, get it now. One thing, too, that remember post 9/11 when we were all getting ready to shelter in place? You know, I was in elementary school. We had plastic sheeting and duct tape in every single classroom. Every house needs to have that now because of the exact same. We were worried about biological or chemical weapons. This is a weapon, basically, a naturally occurring weapon, or maybe a man-made weapon. We don't know yet. But we need to be prepared to defend your house in it, because that's really what it's going to come down to if we get quarantined. How long can you sit in your house with nothing coming in? It's a game we're going to have to all play.
No, you're right. And most Americans, I mean, we all have maybe a week's worth of food, definitely not a week's worth of water. You know, you can have bottled water. You can buy a 24 pack of bottled water. That's not going to last you a week. That's why it's so important. I mean, you know, we're not just trying to fearmonger. This is stuff you should do anyway. If there was no coronavirus, you should still be getting your family, your household, the people you love prepared to go a week, 2 weeks, a month without going to Walmart. I mean, just the average city, the food supply would dry up in a matter of days if it wasn't for convoys of trucks bringing it to Walmart, bringing it to Kroger, bringing it to Aldi's, bringing it to Target. All of these stores would go completely, the shelves would be empty in a couple days without the national transit system. So if a city gets quarantined, like our caller just said, multiple LAs now quarantined. If a city gets quarantined, there's no more food coming in. If you can even leave your house to go to the store, there might not be anything there for you to buy. Right now, InfoWarsStore.com, we still have the storable food available. Other companies are completely sold out, but InfoWarsStore.com, partnering with My Patriot Supply, you can still get it, and they're not even expensive. The prices are going to go up, too. That's the next step. Get a water filter while you're there as well. Make sure your family can drink water. We'll be right back. We're taking calls from our nation's vets. Welcome back to the War Room. I am Tom Pappard, editor-in-chief. Nationalfile.com is where you can read my work. Today is the last Friday of the month. That means we want to hear from our nation's veterans. It is the Veteran Call-In Show. If you would like to call in, there are plenty of lines available, that they are filling up fast. It is 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. We're going to get right back to our callers here in a moment. We've got Jace. We've got Paul. We've got Eric. We've got Rich. We're going to get right back to you, but I want to bring this up because this was fairly underreported from conservative outlets, aside from NewsWars, InfoWars, National File, and it has to do with Rand Paul, who obviously Rand Paul is a lot like his father. Rand Paul tries to play nice with the politicians a little bit more than the great Ron Paul did. Ron Paul, of course, many of us got woken up, how I found Alex Jones when I was a wee lad. And now Rand Paul tricked the Democrats into seemingly admitting that Eric Cherumella, Eric CIA Ramella, may in fact be the whistleblower. He may be why we're in this whole impeachment mess in the first place. Him and, of course, Adam Schiff. So this is from yesterday, nationalfile.com. Democrats demand Rand Paul's arrest after the senator asked about Obama holdover Eric Ciaramella. Eric CIA Ramella. I have a hunch that it was Ciaramella before this whole thing came out. We just can't point out to people that it's CIA Ramella. After Chief Justice John Roberts refused to read a question posted by Senator Rand Paul, the Republican senator from Kentucky, during the Senate impeachment trial because he used the name Eric Ciaramella, prominent Democrats called for the Kentucky senator's immediate arrest. And Paul's question, by the way, this is the beauty of it. I mean, this is one of those things where it's like Rand Paul is obviously a good politician. He's not in this thing to just get headlines. He's not in this thing to just be Dr. No, which, of course, was a fantastic thing that Dr. Ron Paul did for his entire career, became Dr. No, voting no on every single piece of unconstitutional legislation. No, Rand Paul is here to trick the Democrats, to trick the globalists, really, playing their own games. And is he perfect? No. It's not perfect. He wants more H-1B visas. He wants to bring in a bunch of people so they can replace American jobs. But he's quickly becoming one of the most trustworthy allies of the populist movement and of President Donald Trump. This is what he wrote on Twitter after John Roberts refused to read his question. That's, of course, Supreme Court Justice, Supreme Court Chief Justice. He wrote, "My question today is about whether or not individuals who were holdovers from the Obama National Security Council and Democrat partisans conspired with Schiff staffers to plot impeaching the president before there were formal House impeachment proceedings." He continued, "My question was, are you aware that House Intelligence Committee staffer Sean Misko, who had a close relationship with Eric Ciaramella while at the National Security Council together?" He continued, "And are you aware and how do you respond to reports that Ciaramella and Misko may have worked together to plot impeaching the president before there were formal House impeachment proceedings?" And some of these rabid leftists, Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal called for serious sanctions against Rand Paul for his attempts to name the whistleblower. Ms. Krasenstein, that's, of course, the wife of one of the Krasenstein brothers who have been banned from Twitter, called for Rand Paul to be banned from Twitter. Then you have people using hashtag arrest Rand Paul. Call the sergeant at arms. Tell him that Rand Paul broke the rules. Arrest this lawless senator. The whistleblower complaint was entirely corroborated by witness testimony. Rand Paul, Trump, and other Republican autocrats want revenge. They want the whistleblower dead. This is America, not Russia. Hashtag arrest Rand Paul. Will the sergeant of arms take this man into custody? Why is he tweeting and doing press interviews during the impeachment hearings? Hashtag arrest Rand Paul. I mean, they're absolutely nuts. And of course, Paul just points out he didn't call Eric Ciaramella the whistleblower. He didn't say, "Hey, what about that whistleblower guy, Eric Ciaramella?" Rand Paul pointed this out. Doug Stafford, who is the top campaign guy for Rand Paul, pointed this out. A source close to the campaign told National File he didn't ask about the whistleblower. So it seems the Democrats are the ones who are, I mean, I don't want to say it, but they sure seem to have confirmed that a whistleblower exists, and his name is Eric Ciaramella. Republicans didn't say that. Rand Paul didn't say that. Trump didn't say that. I didn't say that. But why else would they try to arrest him? What is Blumenthal hinting at when he says that Rand Paul attempted to out the whistleblowers? We've got a caller who wants to talk about Mr. Ciaramella. That is, of course, Jace, who is a Marine from the beautiful state of Montana. Jace, welcome to the War Room.
How's it going, Tom?
Going great, my friend. What's on your mind?
Well, yeah, I was calling about Ciaramella. I mean, it's crazy that nobody ever seems to want to talk about him in the mainstream press, obviously, but there's just so much on this guy. I mean, I've been listening to Dan Bongino. He's been talking about him constantly. Doug Hagman talked a lot about him too. And then I was looking at this article from Judicial Watch that I put up on my Twitter, and I tagged Owen with it, but obviously he's been sick. But Judicial Watch has got it to where in 2016, the head of Burisma, like, so a lot of people don't understand that when Hunter Biden signed on with Burisma, that they were actually being investigated already at that time by the Ukrainians for fraud and money laundering and everything else. So that's why it was even more of a big deal that he signed on the board. But even crazier, the logs show during the Obama White House that Eric Garamella is who signed the logs for the Ukrainians that were coming into the White House to have a meeting with the White House. And you got to understand, like as in this says in this report, that this was during an election year, so the President Obama was pretty dang busy. So to get a meeting with Obama at that time was a little crazy. So, and then
wow,
as it says in the article, okay, this is Judicial Watch, and it says in the article that the guy that signed the login book was Eric Garamella. So, I mean, come on, this is just crazy. So
that is insane. Go ahead.
Also revealed that Alexander Chalupa, by the DNC in the 2016 election, he was there also. It's just crazy. He actually visited the White House 27 times during this time. Yeah, it's a pretty good article, but I don't know. It's in Judicial Watch. But,
well, Judicial Watch, I mean, see, that's the most important part of this, Jace. This is a mainline source. I mean, Judicial Watch is 100% credible as far as anybody I've ever met is concerned. Democrats have to begrudgingly admit that they're credible. So meanwhile, Facebook wants to ban you for using the name Eric Garamella. And this guy, now we know why. I mean, the big tech monopolists play such good interference for their allies in the deep state. Now you've got Judicial Watch is probably going to get in big trouble because they went back and looked at documents. They're going to be guilty of the crime of looking at documents. And I mean, that what you're getting at is this is key. Ukraine was a money laundering operation for the global elites. That's all Ukraine has ever been until President Trump and President Zelensky come around and they start moving it in the right direction. Now, Zelensky's got a hell of a swamp on his hands, way bigger than our swamp, because our swamp is also there. Then they have their own swamp. Then there's Russia's swamp. I mean, it's absolutely insane. What else was in this article, Jace?
You know, it's just crazy to me that this guy that is blowing the whistle, and everyone talks about, okay, Hunter can be a on a board of anything, even though he didn't know anything about natural gas or petroleum or anything of that nature. But they keep failing to mention that this Burisma was under investigation for fraud laundering already. It goes in to say Alexander Chalupa contacted by the DNC during the 2016 elections and coordinated with the Ukrainians to investigate President Trump and his former campaign manager, Paul Manafort. They all visited the House 27 times, Alexander Chalupa, that is. The White House visitor logs revealed that the following individuals met with Eric Garamella while he was detailed in the White House. Daria Kolonik, co-founder and executive director of Soros-funded anti-corruption, anti-center, ANTAC in the Ukraine. She visited on December 9th, and Eric Garamella signed her in. The Hill reported in 2016 during the U.S. presidential race that the U.S. embassy under Obama in Kiev took the rare step of trying to process the Ukrainian government to back off its investigation of both U.S. aid and ANTAC.
Wow. This goes even deeper than any of us knew. I mean, this is absolutely insane. Garamella is the guy who was getting all these people into the White House. He was the guy who was signing off on it. Then all these years go by and Trump is actually trying to fix Ukraine. So Mr. Garamella, allegedly, we're not going to claim he's the whistleblower here. We're not fake news. Allegedly, Garamella now has a vendetta against President Trump for probably undoing all of his great work with making sure that Ukraine can stay corrupt and can stay a money laundering operation for the deep state here in the United States. In the next segment, we're going to be joined by a fantastic guest. Yeah, I'm certain you've seen him on the show before. We're going into hour two. We're going to start taking your calls again as soon as we can. It is the Veterans Call-In Show, so go ahead, keep dialing that number. We will get to everybody. I'm Tom Papert. Don't go away. We'll be back in hour two of the War Room.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at InfoWars.com/show.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The War Room. I'm Tom Pappert, filling in for Owen Schroyer. That was such a fantastic call last segment with Jace. Thank you again so much for your call, Jace. We're going to keep taking your calls this segment. We will be joined by Chris Nauim in the next segment to talk about what is going on with the VA. Of course, it was President Trump's, one of his central promises was to fix the VA so we could actually take care of our nation's veterans. We'll get the current state of the VA in the next segment. But we've got about 5 minutes here, about 4 minutes left. Let's go to Evangelist Rich, who is a Navy veteran from Georgia. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hello.
Welcome to the show. We can hear you fine.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me. One of the things that I wanted to mention is about the state of the church and how a lot of pastors are not teaching their congregants to prepare for what could be taking place. And it's very much biblical that we are to be preparing people for the times that we're living in right now. And so I just wanted to mention a few things. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it talks about Joseph and how Pharaoh had a dream. And Joseph had been sent by God years earlier to help prepare Egypt for the famine of 7 years that was going to be taking place. And then another part of the Bible in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, you had the prophet Agabus, who prophesied and told them that a famine was coming to the Roman Empire. And so the church, they got prepared in order to help that the people during that time. And so, and the Bible lets us know that faith without works is dead. And so you have a lot of Christians that say, well, I have faith, but the Bible says, show me your works with that faith. So that means that God lets us know in many different ways that we are to be preparing, we are to, you know, stay abreast, not prepare just in the natural, but also in the spirit. And the church is dropping the ball when it comes to warning, when it comes to teaching the truth about preparation, and not just in the spirit. You got so many pastors that talk about prosperity, but your prosperity, your money, your bank account is not going to mean anything if there's an economic collapse. If you cannot
that is
get
so
any
true.
Food, if you cannot go to the store and get Pampers for your kids, you need to start preparing. Sometimes people are like, well, I don't have enough money, but you're going to McDonald's. I don't have enough money, but you're going to the show. I don't have enough money, but you're paying for your pastor's bills and for him to be prepared, but then you're not. And so people need to start reading the Word of God. It's very much biblical. Jesus said, hey, if you don't have a sword, go sell your cloak and go get your sword. When people, Christians, talking about you're not supposed to have weapons, that goes
That's
against
right.
the Word of God. In Nehemiah, when they were having opposition against building the wall, Nehemiah had them with a sword in one hand and they were building with the next. It is so many things that the church is dropping the ball on, and Christians are listening to these pimps in the pulpit that's pimping them out of money instead of preparing them in the right way, spiritually and in the natural.
I love it. What a fantastic caller. No, you are dead right. I mean, that it's all over the Bible. Literally, as you said, sell your cloak and get a sword. It is all throughout. And some Christian denominations understand this. I mean, the Mormons are a little bit out there on a whole lot of things. But part of the Mormon religion is you need to have a year of supplies stocked up so your family can survive should something terrible happen. And it was Christians, by the way, who went to the West. It's the reason why we have a Texas. It's the reason why we have a California, a Nevada. Nevada, because Christians understood this, and you're absolutely right. It is these modern mega churches where they need the funds so they can get a new massive TV screen and offer free coffee every morning. That's what the money is going to now. They're not preparing their congregations. Yeah. Remember, everybody, InfoWarsStore.com. We got about 15 seconds left. I'll give you the final word.
Yes, I want to say something that when it came to America, the leaders that were leading out were the pastors. They were called the Black World Regiment. People need to start reading, doing their history, get out of this CNN, all this other crap that they're watching, Super Bowl and all that mess, and they need to start studying the history. Pastors were the ones that were supposed to lead out. Study on the Black World Regiment.
That's right. Fantastic caller. Thank you so much. That is such a beautiful, beautiful point. We'll be right back with our guest. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Tom Pappert. Now by Chris Nyweemi is our guest. We're going to talk about the state of the VA. And control room, just making sure we do have Chris, correct? Welcome to the show, Chris. Thank you so much for joining us today. Of course, the audience by now ought to know all of your history, but of course, you are the founder of the Nyweem Group. You are a veteran. Give us your thoughts, because I know it was one of President Trump's key campaign promises. He was going to clean up and fix the VA. How are things going in 2020 in the Veterans Administration?
Yeah, so great to be back with you guys. The VA, you know, the VA is a gigantic healthcare system. I mean, it is the largest integrated healthcare system in the country. We've got 22 million veterans. We've got about 9 million that use the VA for their healthcare. And of that, I think around 4 million that regularly are going in and out of hospital. So it's a big system. And when President Trump was elected, we had a lot of problems with bad employees that were very difficult to get rid of and fire under the current laws. We had a lot of problems with access to healthcare in certain regions in the country, most notably with the scandal that happened in Phoenix, where we had veterans that were on secret waiting lists and a lot of problems. So President Trump came in and he was able to get the VA Accountability Act passed, which made it easier to remove bad employees. That was a big win early on. And he's also expanded some of these private healthcare options, which they call the Mission Act, or a piece of legislation that allows more veterans access to private doctors. They still stay in the VA system, but they're able to get more private doctors. So it's largely been successful under President Trump. He's really made things happen. But there's still a lot of problems with bureaucracy and with just making things work on the inside. I mean, a lot of these people that are in these agencies, I mean, there's a lot of great people in there, but there's also a lot of people that don't really want to change. They don't really want to be beholden to administrations that come and go. And so you do have, you know, some of those bureaucrats that cause problems. So the current state of the VA is a lot of reforms going on around healthcare. I think a lot of improvements under President Trump, but there's still some of these perennial issues with customer service and all this stuff. So it's an ongoing thing still. There's still more work in progress, but I do credit President Trump with really making some changes in there and getting some things going. And it's just it's still a work in progress.
So that's one of the things that I think is so frustrating about many elements of the Trump administration is he comes in with these great reforms, but you get the entrenched ranks of bureaucrats who want to do things their way. They think that they can wait it out 4 or 8 years to get rid of the president that's going to try and make them work. What is a good way? I mean, obviously, you are the expert on this. How do you cut through the red tape? How do you separate the wheat from the chaff? How do we make this thing actually work? And how do we make sure it's going to continue working, at least at the level that it is right now, after President Trump leaves office?
Well, I think media attention is always good. I mean, talking about issues publicly and really getting those changes to happen. I mean, the irony with VA is they're more likely to react to public criticism in the media than they are to an actual case study of an issue. I mean, it really is a system that is just so difficult to get access to sometimes. And I see that in the Washington, D.C. VA, which is less than 10 miles, I think, from the nation's capital. And there's a lot of problems in that hospital still. I mean, there's been issues. I mean, the last director was fired twice. They had to put him back in under union laws. They had to fire him again because we had issues with lack of medical supplies. There were some real issues. So I think media attention and organizing veterans around exposing some of these issues is always helpful. And the other thing I would say is it is so irritating to hear congressional Democrats talk about universal health care as if it's like an amusement park and it's the greatest thing in the world. First of all, they don't use the VA. And there's a lot of veterans that have had some issues with it. So this idea that everyone that's in single payer, they just love it. That is so unbelievably false. And when I hear these Democrats running for president talking about it, you know, I think I should probably infiltrate one of these town halls and get them, because that's not the case for a lot of veterans. I mean, healthcare choice and private sector still is very preferred in many instances.
Now, you bring up a really great point, because, I mean, you would think if we were going to have single payer, if we're going to have universal healthcare, whatever these communists want to call it. The first people that we should be taking care of are our nation's veterans, the people who go out and fight and are ready to, at a moment's notice, snap on their uniform and go out and defend this country. You would think we would take care of them first and foremost. And of course, as we all know, the VA for most of its existence has been a complete disaster. It's starting to get better under Trump, but like you're referring to with these bureaucrats, I remember reading a story around Christmas about a veteran who had a prosthetic leg. He lost it due to a fight with diabetes and got gangrene, had his leg amputated, got a prosthetic leg. And the VA told him that they were going to confiscate the man's leg. So now he's stuck in a nursing home with no ability to get out because the VA literally took his leg. So if this is what universal healthcare looks like for the people we should care about the most, what are the implications there? What would it be like if, you know, Joe Blow walking down the street got hit by a car and needed to get some of this fantastic universal healthcare?
Well, that's the issue. I mean, it's people that haven't been in the system and haven't seen some of these areas, and some perform better than others. I mean, some hospitals are a little bit better, and I think the quality of the healthcare is good if you can access it, if you can get it, if you can get the government to approve the necessary probative medical care, or, you know, securing CT scans, things like that. And that's the big issue with universal healthcare, in my opinion, is I'm in a system that is single payer, and I think there's aspects of the care that's good, but I have a master's degree, advanced experience working on legislation. I've testified in front of the House. I've testified in front of the Senate. I'm on cable TV pretty often, and I still have not figured out the mystery of getting an appointment in a timely fashion. And I understand the system. So I think it's difficult for some of these older veterans to figure out the system some days. And there's another stat I'll give you. The VA has over 1,800 800 numbers. Figure that one out. I mean, why do we still have such old methods for receiving veterans going into healthcare? So I would certainly push back hard on the universal healthcare themes. I think there's a lot of problems with it. There's a lot of restrictions under the law. But it's getting better. So we'll see what happens. I think the administration is going to continue to set up these private partnerships to try to get veterans in to see doctors quicker. I've noticed the appeals are moving faster. So these are veterans that have injuries related to their service that are trying to get health care and disability compensation. That's getting better. And again, I credit President Trump and his administration's business orientation doing that, getting that going. So I think things are better. And that's kind of an overview of the state of the VA healthcare system at this point in the Trump administration here in 2020.
You know, we're getting ready to come up against a break, but I want to dive pretty deep into the Mission Act, which, of course, allows veterans where, you know, if there's a massive wait to get into the VA, they can go to a private hospital. This is something that, just like you said, the business mind of President Trump and those he surrounded himself with to some extent, that seems like a no-brainer to me. If you're sick and hospital A is full, well, you should just go to hospital B down the street that still has beds open. It's just this common sense type of stuff. And I think that will kind of open up some other potentialities on what the administration can do to actually care for our nation's veterans. So I just want to remind everybody, we'll be back with Chris Nyweem in the next segment, but there are some great deals going on at InfoWarsStore.com, and it is one of the remaining places where you can actually get storable food. That is, of course, from My Patriot Supply in partnership with InfoWars. Even My Patriot Supply, where they are the creme de la creme of this type of item, they're going to run out of stock if this virus is not contained, if there is not a whole lot of reassurance from the government. And of course, that is not happening. So InfoWarsStore.com, it's insurance for your family to be able to eat. You can get a gravity-fed water filter at InfoWarsStore.com. That is insurance for your family to drink. These are easy, easy ways to make sure that you are protected in a worst-case scenario, or if the economic bubble bursts, or if the government, what if they try to do to the food supply what they've done or what they're trying to do to healthcare? What happens when President Trump leaves office and we get Bernie Sanders president with AOC as vice president? It's a scary thing to think about. InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Papert here with Chris Nyweem. We are talking about the VA. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm Tom Papert filling in for Owen Schroyer today. It is the Veterans Call-In Show. We're going to be getting back to your calls here momentarily. Our guest for this segment is Chris Nieuwem. You can find him on Twitter at Chris Nieuwem. Highly recommend you give him a follow for a wealth of information. And one thing I want to do is I don't think, you know, President Trump, a lot of people give him don't give enough credit for the campaign promises that he has actually completed during just his first term. Of course, a bunch more will hopefully be completed if we are successful in getting the man a second term. But one of the big things, I think, is what you hit on in the last segment, and that's the Mission Act that allows a veteran who, if you're going to have to wait 6 months to get a doctor to take a look at you, you just go to a private hospital or a different hospital, and you remain in the VA system. The VA is going to pay for it, but you're not waiting for 6 months. This seems like a common sense reform that's going to do a whole lot of good. Are there other common sense, business-minded, it's just what you or I would do if we were put in charge. Are there other things like this that the president can pursue?
I think the president just needs to continue to give instructions to his political appointees over at VA to keep pushing to try to get as much done while they're in there as they can, knowing that things might go back to the old ways without them. And the way the VA – so the good news is we have a country that largely supports veterans a lot. They want to see our veterans get taken care of. They want to see veterans get their benefits and their health care and jobs after they get out of service and take care of them. So Congress agrees we need to take care of veterans. So the VA's got a budget of over $200 billion. It's getting bigger and bigger. And so they've got a lot of resources. The interesting thing is, okay, so we have all these hospitals that veterans can go to. That makes sense. But many veterans live in rural areas. Many veterans don't necessarily want to commute 3 hours for an appointment. So the idea is let's have some private care to be able to kind of make this work. That sounds like a great idea, and it's been going on for a long time. The issue was all of those bureaucratic issues with payment, with figuring it out. So the Mission Act has made it much easier where a veteran can get a voucher essentially and go to that private appointment. So that's all good and well, but here's the interesting thing. One of the big problems for the president, which he's worked around very well, is a lot of the nation's veterans groups aren't always looking out for veterans. I mean, I'm a member of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. I'm a member of the American Legion. And I think the membership is great. And I think these are organizations that have done a great work over the over time. And they've been behind some of the biggest legislative pushes. However, in recent years, you got some very far left liberals in there that are in the national office. And they make decisions in the national office on behalf of the organization. And a lot of these are resolution-based organizations. So it's almost kind of like the Constitution where they have to represent their members. And right. Oftentimes they just do things without representing their members. And now we've got, for example, you know, the president has described some of the foreign policy things going on. And you have veterans groups that are, you know, upset about the language used. We can all get better about learning about concussions and brain injuries and all this stuff. But the point is, the Veterans of Foreign Wars is demanding an apology from the president. What a lame, egocentric waste of time, out of touch with representing veterans thing for them to be doing, right? So why is the Veterans of Foreign Wars moaning and demanding apologies from the commander in chief when they should be out there representing veterans? Those are the kinds of annoying things that happen. So that where I'm going with that is some of those veterans groups actually don't want to see private care expanded because the more private care expands, the more veterans have choice. They're less lenient on the veterans groups, which think that, oh, we're going to take care of everything. We you need us. So there's almost kind of like this socialist vibe there with some leadership at some of the national veterans groups. So I think that that's the reason I love InfoWars is you guys just really report news and real insights, and you really break around all that sort of pretentiousness that can happen not only with like mainstream media, but with veterans groups. So that's just kind of a little interesting perspective on how there are some people that oppose the president's agenda with private health care because they're more concerned about their own power and keeping the coffee club alive in DC over with VA officials.
Well, you just honed in on something that I think is key because you see that, of course, with gun rights. I mean, everybody knows the NRA does some good things, but for the most part, they're nowhere near as effective as Gun Owners of America or the National Association for Gun Rights. I mean, those two groups dwarf what the NRA does with a much smaller budget. And this is something that most folks who haven't served might not understand. So what would you say? And of course, I know you're not trying to necessarily trash these groups, maybe some in leadership positions, but what would you say are some good groups that you would recommend veterans look into?
Well, I think for veterans should follow disabledveterans.org. It's run by an attorney and a veteran named Ben Krause. He does a lot of advocacy work and really just is research driven and gets into the facts, and he's really good. So disabledveterans.org. I think Concerned Veterans for America is interesting. I mean, they've gotten more into the private healthcare stuff. And look, I think that Veterans of Foreign Wars and American Legion have done a lot of great stuff, but they've got to get younger veterans involved. They've got to figure it out because the membership is aging and many of them are not as involved anymore. So honestly, I'm a big advocate of the individual vet. I mean, just do your research, write your legislators, you know, voice your opinion. And media, allies and media can be really helpful to expose issues and get attention to things and the good stuff that's happening. You know, here's what we think is good. Here's what we should expand. So I think the VA is improving under President Trump. It's going to be a rocky election year, and hopefully veterans are not forgotten while all these Democrats trip over each other to be the most socialist, the most anti-gun moron, which it's a very competitive race. You can tell I'm more conservative. But I think our vets are it's going to be interesting. Let's see what happens.
Well, I know you've got to get going, and thanks for being so kind to InfoWars. Obviously, it's a great honor to have you here on the broadcast with us. I just want to give you an opportunity. I know you've got an appointment coming up at 1:30. Tell folks where they can follow your work, where they can follow you online, where they can keep up with everything that you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, they can go to nywamgroup.com, send me a note if there's something you're interested in. I do a lot of work in media, but also in Congress and stuff. And I just love to I respond to everybody that writes me, except for the crazy people in Europe that hate America that always send me crazy messages every time I go on international TV. But even them, I give them a little response every once in a while. So, yeah, that'd be a great place to find me at Chris Nywame on Twitter, ChrisNeiweem. And always an honor to come out with you guys, and InfoWars has been a great ally exposing issues. And we've shut down 5 dog testing labs at the VA where they were killing puppies supposedly to give us research outcomes. That was a disaster. InfoWars has helped shut that down. We're helping expand care, and all the listeners can really do a lot to write into Congress and make noise about stuff. And so I think we're in a better spot now.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. Of course, today is the final Friday of the month, so we love hearing from our veterans every final Friday here on the War Room. Thank you again, Chris Nywame. Everyone, I highly recommend you follow this guy on Twitter. You keep in touch with him. He is a big, big advocate for veterans and a very, very sharp guy, as you could tell from our interviews.
Yes, sir.
We are in a war for America. This is the War Room.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm still here, Tom Papert, filling in for Owen Schroyer, who is out with some type of god-awful bug after his stay in the D.C. prison that I suppose the taxpayers paid for, so we made him sick. That's not good. We're still taking your calls. The phone lines are starting to warm up again. We're going to get to these calls in this segment, so please call in. The number is 877-789-2539. Veterans only, please. We want to hear from our nation's veterans today. We can talk about coronavirus. We can talk about impeachment. Whatever our nation's veterans would like to talk about, 877-789-2539. There is some breaking news right in front of me. President Trump has levied a travel ban on foreign visitors, foreign travelers from China to block the coronavirus. This is breaking news on Breitbart.com. The White House announced Friday a ban of all foreign nationals traveling to the United States who have traveled in China in the last 2 weeks. The ban applies to all foreign nationals who have traveled to China within the last 14 days and will be denied entry into the United States and will become effective at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this Sunday, February 2nd. The ban was announced by Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar at the White House press briefing room. There will be an exemption for immediate family members and permanent residents from China. Any U.S. citizen who has traveled specifically in the Hubei province of China in the last 14 days faces a mandatory quarantine of up to 2 weeks. United States citizens who have been to China in the last 14 days will undergo health screening and then will be asked to self-quarantine for 14 days. So that is breaking news. The government is finally acting to prevent the spread of the deadly coronavirus. Again, people are asymptomatic for days and days and days, but they are still contagious. So it is vital that President Trump gets this under control. And it sounds like the administration is finally acting. So please call in. Let us know what you think about this. Is this enough? The number is, again, 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. We've had some people on hold. Thank you all so much for holding for so long. Let's go to Brian, who is a Marine from California. He wants to talk about coronavirus. Brian, thank you for holding.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing great. Brian, how are you?
Good. I'm trying to get speakerphone. There we go. Okay, it's off speakerphone. Hi, how are you doing? So, what I want to know is, and everybody's danced around it, Mike Adams has said that it could be a homeogeneous weapon. Mike Rappaport said probably Asians get it more than normal people. Is there a case of anybody other than an Asian getting it? Meaning, is this unfortunately worked on by the Chinese government and was accidentally released, and because they're the most homogeneous race, they accidentally released a bioweapon that kills homogeneous specific people? And I would like to say, after this, if we could get like 20 seconds, a prayer for Owen.
Absolutely. You know, on that topic, I mean, and we do need to pray for Owen and hope he gets a very, very speedy recovery. So I hope we can all join together and pray that Owen is back here on Monday. As much as I love being here, I would much love it if we were very much more love it if we was under better circumstances. But, you know, we have this article in nationalfile.com, Dr. Eric Feigl-Ding, he stops short of saying that it appears to be a bioweapon, but he says it's essentially like nothing we've ever seen before. It's not like the coronavirus that spreads in bats. It's not like the coronavirus that spreads in other animals. Instead of it being a DNA, it's RNA, which is, of course, plants. And it mutates extremely quickly once it gets into a human host. So if you get coronavirus, then you cough on your wife and she gets coronavirus, it may be a different coronavirus. And so it is extremely strange. Of course, there have been all these things happening, and I'm not going to make a statement. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a genius like Mike Adams. But of course, we had the Harvard scientist arrested for doing work for a research lab in Wuhan, China, and lying about it. We have all of these strange coincidences happening. So, but you are the first one, I think, Brian, who has brought up the idea that perhaps this was an accident. Perhaps China is working on this and it gets out. Other people have said, yeah, I mean, some folks have suggested perhaps the United States was working on this. I think Alex Jones briefly entertained this idea. United States maybe was working on this and it wound up getting out of control or just releasing it in China as a bioweapon. I don't know. What leads you to think maybe China accidentally did this to their own people?
Well, because Mike Adams said that basically the Chinese genome is the most homeostasis, meaning the purest. And so they're basically trying to find a bioweapon for anybody, and they were the best to test on. And unfortunately, in their hubris, right, they accidentally got it out of the lab, and now they're paying the ultimate price.
Well, you know, there is, and again, we're not going to make that claim on the show, but we will say that there's a lot of suspicious things going on with coronavirus. I mean, for the first 2 weeks the virus was out there, China wasn't really treating people. They weren't trying to contain it. No, they were arresting anybody who talked about it on social media, on the Chinese great firewall version of the internet. So China, of course, the Communist Party is drunk on its own power. And as you said, Brian, hubris to the point where they likely believe nothing nothing bad can happen to them. It's the great new Chinese millennium. The glorious People's Republic is going to save the world. I mean, we also saw, we had the article up in National File, the Chinese government, while 60,000 plus were quarantined, God knows how many it really is, and people are dying, China claimed, we cured it. It's no big deal. We cured it. Now, of course, 2 days later, President Xi Jinping, Winnie the Pooh himself, came out on international television and said, this is a big, big problem. So I think it's safe to say that China is definitely seeing its own limitations right now. The question is, again, how did this thing start? So I want to let you finish your thoughts, because it's something that I think folks – again, we're not going to endorse any theories here on the show, but we will certainly entertain them and say that anything is possible and when it's something this severe. So what are you? I want to go ahead and let you finish up your thoughts.
Well, it's okay, because I'll say what most don't want to say. Basically, I have not found anybody other than a Chinese person that has been inflicted or dying from this. There were videos of that guy in Wuhan walking around while people are falling over next to him. He was a white guy, and he was walking around going, oh my God, but he wasn't affected. I just think, every weapon formed against you shall not prosper, and I think this may be God's way of getting in the way. And let me just say,
fascinating. Go ahead.
Shout out to the Proud Boys, Central Valley, and North Reservoir. Anyway, go ahead.
We love the Proud Boys. And, it's certainly something. I mean, you make a good point. If you look at the people who have been reportedly infected or who have been confirmed infected, it tends to be Chinese students who are studying in America. It tends to be people who have moved here from China. And it does make you wonder. Now, of course, the researchers, this is the other thing, all of this entire story that I've been borrowing from here at nationalfile.com, it's a study, it's a scientific study, but it hasn't been peer reviewed yet, because this is happening minute by minute. There's no time to peer review this stuff. It's a lengthy process. We are in essentially a go with it situation on a scientific level, where we don't have the 2 years that we need. Dr. Pachinik mentioned they're going to have a vaccine in a year from now. I mean, that we don't have time to wait for a year from now when you're symptomatic for 7-8 days, or not symptomatic, but still contagious for 7-8 days. We need to get to the bottom of it as quickly as possible. And as you remember, Steve Pachinik, who attempted to assuage concerns, and I think that's the right thing to do, but Dr. Pachinik still warned that this thing could be big, and we need to just skip the animal testing and go straight to human testing. So I want to remind everybody, we're still talking about coronavirus here. Of course, the number to call in is 877-789-2539, and our veterans probably don't need to hear this, but it is vital that you protect your family, that you provide for your family. You can do that by going to InfoWarsStore.com and get some storable foods. We still have it in stock. They may not be in stock. If you come back in 2 weeks, might be gone. If you come back in 10 days, might be gone. My Patriot Supply, who is InfoWarsStore.com's exclusive partner on storable foods, emergency food supplies, they are one of the only folks out there who still has this food in stock. And we don't know how long it's going to last. More and more orders are coming in every single day. So thank you so much again for your call. We're going to continue taking your calls as we go on. Thank you for watching. Don't go away. Welcome back to the War Room. I'm Tom Papert, editor-in-chief, nationalfile.com, here filling in for Owen, who is out sick with some sort of superbug that only exists in the D.C. jail system. Today is Veterans Call-In Day. It's the last Friday of every month. I'm very glad to be here for it. If you are a veteran and you would like to call in, the number is 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. The crew is on standby to receive your call, and we've still got some lines open. So if you would like to call in, please, please do. And thank you so much to Eric for holding over an hour. Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. Eric, who is an Army and Air Force veteran from the great state of Colorado, welcome to War Room. Do we have Eric? You there? There you are.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Eric.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I just wanted to I actually wanted to call in the other day when Alex was having John Rappaport on, and he was trying to downplay some of the things going on in the economy and the stock market. And, I know Mike Adams kind of came back on and shut down some of that And, you know, he's great. He's got a good handle on, you know, the supply chain and all that. So I listened to his podcast, and, you know, I just kind of want to interject on that, with the Fed, you know, since last September, they've been, you know, injecting, you know, billions, you know, tens of billions of dollars into the repo market just to keep the, you know, the stock market propped up and the bond market propped up. And of course, you know, they're doing all their manipulation on the side. You know, meanwhile, we got this coronavirus coming through China, and, you know, their economy is completely in free fall right now. And, you know, I just kind of see this like a domino effect, and a lot of people aren't like looking forward, you know, a week or two on, you know, even our supplies. Most of everything we get from Home Depot and Walmart is all coming from China. And if they slow that down at all, you know, that's going to affect our economy, you know, because we're basically a consumer economy and a service economy. So, you know, even our fast food, all the supplies we get from our fast food places are from China. So, you know, I just kind of want to bring that to everybody's attention. And of course, today the stock market sold off almost 600 points. So, you know, they're starting to see some rumblings in the Fed's ability to keep this propped up. And, you know, I know Alex kind of brought up the fact that, yeah, this could be the black swan to bring everything down. So that's just
where I was coming from. You're definitely right. I mean, we have an economy right now. The Federal Reserve, you know, everybody remembers QE1, QE2, QE3. Well, now it's just ongoing. There is no end to it. They're just printing money like it's toilet paper and throwing it at these big banks so they can somehow save the world and save the economy. President Trump is, of course, railing against the Federal Reserve. Sometimes I feel for the wrong reasons, but the curveball, of course, is coronavirus in China, because as you point out, just about everything, I mean, this desk, this globe, this mic, probably everything in this studio is made in China. Not because I want it to be, but because that's where every single thing is made. You can't get an American-made TV. So if China is quarantining the population size of 5 LAs, that is very, very, very bad for the world economy. And as you said, the stock market appears to have finally taken notice. It finally decided, those day traders out there, the people with all the money, have finally figured out, hey, wait a minute, this might not be so good for the world economy to have one of the world's largest economies shutting itself down as they fear a massive pandemic that could wipe out who knows how many people. And as we know, the global elites have been trying to derail the economy. We've seen how many different big names say the only way to stop Trump might be to destroy the economy. Because while I think most of what President Trump has done is great, he obviously is failing on a few key issues like big tech censorship and, to a lesser extent, China. What President Trump has done is great. He has created a fantastic economy where if you are in the stock market, you're doing very well. If you have a 401k, you're doing very, very well. If you want a job, you can probably get one. That could all go away, though, with the Federal Reserve manipulating the currency, adding money into the market like it's candy, and then, of course, China having this massive problem. So what should folks do to prepare for this? I mean, I think we all know the answer, but what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, when this all started, when they quarantined the first city, I did exactly what Alex Jones was doing, and I was starting to buy more preps because I've been prepped for years, you know, trying to figure out when the final, you know, thing was going to drop. But, you know, I started ordering more food. I started thinking about supplements. Okay, what if I do get the coronavirus? How am I going to, you know, not have to go to the hospital? Because, you know, what are they going to do for you? They're going to, you know, probably test you and then send you home, and then you're going to be quarantined. So you're going to have to be able to heal yourself at home. So I'm buying, you know, liposomal vitamin C. I'm buying supplements from, you know, of course, InfoWars and you know, making sure I got all that taken care of. And then I'm thinking even months ahead, okay, what am I not going to be able to get if, you know, China can't, or even Asia, because all the other, you know, places we're supplied from is usually Asia, or even, you know, wherever, Canada or Mexico. So if they all start going down on these supply chains, everything's going to be bought out. So I'm thinking, you know, water filters. I'm thinking, you know, just a few months ahead of now, what can I not be able to get? You know, cat, eating stuff like cat food or dog food, you know, whatever you, whatever you usually get within the next few months, just think about that and just have extra laying around. And if you don't, if, you know, if everything turns out fine, then hey, you're just going to use that stuff anyways. But, you know, here in a couple of weeks, if something, you know, if this really escalates, like some people are, you know, even the projections, the model, you know, the computer models are projecting this outward, and it's like, wow, all of a sudden, you know, it's going to look like, you know, that you see the streets of China right now, there's nobody out doing anything because they don't want to get caught in, you know, the ones that are still healthy, they don't want to get infected. So that could easily be, you know, LA or New York or wherever. So that's what I'm doing. Now,
that is, you're absolutely right. I mean, everything you said is what the advice that we should all be taking right now. Of course, you can get water filters, InfoWarsStore.com. You can get storable food, one of the last places where you can still get it in just a few days to your door, InfoWarsStores.com. These are things that we should be concerned about every single day of every single week of every single month of every single year. But right now, we're staring down the barrel of something that could be terrible. Even if, as our caller just said, even if coronavirus manages to be stamped out in China, we don't know how long that could take. If it just spreads to Asia, we don't know how long that could take. We don't know exactly what that's going to mean in terms of importing food to the United States. We don't know what that's going to mean in terms of importing products to the United States. We don't know what that's going to mean in terms of China trying to buy up our food, our water. So what's going to be left on the store shelves for American citizens? This is a good time to prepare. We should always be prepping. We should always be preparing. It's not some zany thing that right-wing conspiracy theorists do on the internet. It's something that anybody who is a reasonably intelligent person should do, whether that is to get a 7-day food supply from InfoWarsStore.com, whether that's to get a gravity fed water filter from InfoWarsStore.com. So if you have access to water, you can purify it and make it safe to drink. These are all things that we should be doing every single day, but right now it is more crucial than ever to get this done. I mean, this is still in the prepping period where the you know what hasn't hit the fan. There's still time to go on online, to go to InfoWarsStore.com to get these things that you need, that you should have anyway. And as our caller said, worst case scenario, this all blows over. It's that zany thing that happened at the beginning of 2020 and everybody was worried about coronavirus. Worst case scenario, you have food that's going to last for 25 years. You have a water filter that's going to make you healthier, your family healthier, and your water tastes better. You have supplements that will make your life better. We still have X2, 40% off. Get the good halogen. Stock up on it. You may not be able to get it. Of course, it goes out of stock. That's what happens when we have these 40% off sales. It goes out of stock, then you can't get it for so long anyway. Prostaguard is back, 35% off. These are items that have been gone from the InfoWars store. Now imagine what's going to happen if the economy starts getting rocky, if things start going bad because of the coronavirus or because of the Federal Reserve meddling in the economy. They obviously have no idea what they're doing and never have since the creation over 100 years ago. Imagine the worst case scenario. You want to be in a position to provide for your family in your own home. Keep the lights off. Don't let folks know you're there. You want to have food that's going to last 25 years. You want to have Immune Gargle, which, by the way, I've been plugging Immune Gargle since I started flying back and forth to Austin all the time. Immune Gargle is one of the best products. Anytime I get on a plane, I take double what they suggest you take of Immune Gargle. Anytime I get off a plane, I do double what they say you should take of Immune Gargle. It keeps me from getting sick when I travel. The first time I went down to Texas, I was on an airplane and there's somebody coughing next to me. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be sick. And sure enough, I was. I was sick for the entire appearance on the Alex Jones Show. Next time, bought Immune Gargle, didn't have it happen. Now, that's a good way to boost your immune system as we go into this very, very scary time. All the products at InfoWarsStore.com will help you. It'll help you provide for your family. It'll help you stay healthy. As Dr. Steve Pachinik said, if you're a healthy person, you might not have this problem. Well, that's how you get healthy. InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at InfoWars.com/show.
This is the third hour of the War Room on the Veterans Call-In Show, the last Friday of every single month. We have callers on the line. We're going to keep taking your calls one more time. That number is 877-789-2539. If you would like to call in and you are one of our nation's veterans, we would love to hear from you. Now, let's go to Brad, who is a Navy veteran out of Boston. Brad, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to say that I thought it was kind of weird that you had a caller recently, you know, suggest that Asians were more susceptible to you know, the coronavirus. I don't think that it's proper that you should pigeonhole chinks that way.
Now, all right, we need to go ahead and drop this call. That's a very, very, very wrong thing to say. Hilarious to some, not to me. We don't know. The fact is, we just don't know what's going on. As the science comes out, I mean, I broke down this massive 10-page article we have at nationalfile.com. We don't know. They're still learning. Now, there are lots of viruses out there that are more susceptible to certain genomes. That's the diversity of the human race. I mean, it's not a racist thing to say that white people can survive in colder climates, but we're never going to win a race against somebody who's from Africa. So that's just the way science works. I mean, you can get certain, what is it, the sickle cell anemia. Only black people can get sickle cell anemia. This whole, it reminds me of this whole transgender type thing that goes on in 2020, 2019, the past 5 or 6 years, where we all just pretend everybody is exactly the same. Women are the same as men are the same as women. All races are the same. We don't have our unique differences that make us beautiful and make us fantastic. That's just the way the world works. So go ahead. If anyone else would like to call in, I'll give out the number again, 877-789-2539. We've only got a couple minutes left, so I don't. You know what? Let's go ahead and see who we've got. We've had people waiting quite a while, so we'll give them a couple minutes, and we'll see if we can't hold them over into the next break. Let's go to Kingovic, who is an Army veteran out of El Paso.
What's up there, Brother Pepper?
Welcome to the show.
I got a couple of things for you, brother. There's a guy, his name is Chris Martinson. He's on YouTube, and he just released the latest of 8 updates. This guy's spot on. Talking about, he came up earlier with something that's called the ACE2 gene. And this one is angiotensin converting enzyme. This one here is in both women and men, but they had a small little study. And in that one, they were seeing that men were being affected more than women. As far as the cardio and the lung portion of it, you have the only the renal function, do you have more of the ACE2 in men? So that's just a curiosity in that. Coming back, I can give you a couple of cataloging numbers that if you do a BLAST would be a basic local alignment search tool. In that one, you can look up Alpha Victor Papa 78033.1. That one is going to be the protein envelope. And that one there is going to go ahead and lead you to understand that this is a bioweapon. Now, with your first caller, or with an earlier caller, he was alluding to that was a mistake made by the BSL-4 in Wuhan. I don't think that's correct, because to me, if you let your imagination wander, you can see that the Mossad has a special section that's called the Kaidan. This is an elite portion of the Mossad. Now, what I figure is that back in 2003, they had a colonel.
Hold that thought. We're going to hold you over till the next segment, because you sound like you are extremely well-informed. I have a feeling you were doing something pretty high up in whatever you were doing in the military. Hold on. Do not hang up. Welcome back to the War Room. We held over our caller, Kingovic, who's an Army veteran from El Paso. He was telling us he's done a lot of research into this. It dovetails nicely into the article up at nationalfile.com. I want to let you continue. This is fascinating stuff.
All right, my brother Pepper. So then, let me see. So then the Kaidan is an elite section of the Mossad. Now, let your imagination run a little bit further with you and imagine that since this is air, it's very contagious. If you sneeze, it stays in the air. So what makes you think that they could have had an aerosolized kind of a container and they cut that loose there? What makes you think that Israel is not fearing the expansionism of China? And what makes you think that they're not going to try and stop these people and make them recede? Right now, they're stalled. If you look at the Baltic Dry Index figure, where the container traffic between the Orient and here, it's tanking, brother. This is a POTUS buster. This is a Xi Jinping buster. These things, they're being engineered by powers to be. You know, you figure it how you want to call it, if it's Zionist, if it's Kabbalist, if it's Kassarian, whoever you want to take your pick at. But remember, the Qaeda and the Mossad, these are the tough guys for these people. The CIA, these people work for them. They don't work for their national, like for Israel or for the United States. They are paid mercenaries. That's what.
Well, you bring up a couple of really, really fascinating points. I mean, the first thing is the global intelligence community. That's what they call it themselves. I mean, it is this massive, massive group of people from every single country. You've got the British MI6. You have the CIA here in the United States. You have the Mossad in Israel. They all work together. Australia, they all work together. They all hate Trump. They all hate populists, and they all work together. They supersede their governments that they come from. They absolutely think that they're out of a James Bond movie. And so at the same time, I mean, Israel is, we had a caller on the other day who said that they're putting folks into basically giant tanks where it's a glass tank. It sanitizes the air. So Israel definitely seems to be on or in front of the curve when it comes to this coronavirus. So it's a lot to think about. It's fascinating stuff. I really appreciate you doing the scientific research behind it. That's the part where a lot of us, you know, it's very easy to just run with a headline, but to actually sit there and break it down and understand what's going on, it's very, very strange. And again, we're not going to make the claim on this show that it's some type of bioweapon that was created in a lab. We're just saying that it's a very strange, strange disease. It's a very strange, strange virus. They thought it came from bats originally. Now the scientists say, well, it doesn't look like it came from bats. It looks like it came from something else. It has RNA instead of DNA. It mutates very quickly. All of these things that a rational mind sits there and thinks, how the hell did this happen? And maybe it did just happen, but we need to continue doing the research, and I hope we get to an actual, actual answer. So thank you so much for calling in, Kingovic. I really appreciate your call. Fascinating stuff. Some of the best callers. That's why I love doing these call-in shows. I don't always get to host here at InfoWars, of course, and when I do, it's usually when some breaking news is happening. We don't have a lot of time to take callers, but it's a great opportunity to be able to host the Friday Veterans Call-In Show today. I'm very, very glad I could do it. Wish Owen were healthy, but it's a great, great honor. I want to give out the number again for anybody who'd like to call in. We do still have some lines open, and the crew is standing by to receive your calls. It's 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. I would love to close out the show with as many calls we can today as we are in the third hour. Let's see who has been holding the longest. It looks like it is David, who is, wow, fascinating. He says Navy/DIA, and he's calling from Hawaii. David, welcome to the show. Do we have you, David? Are you there? Well, David, if you can hear us, try calling back in, because I'm guessing you would have a fascinating perspective on this. Again, the number is 877-789-2539. Let's go to Gerald, who is a Marine from Arkansas. And I even said it right. I'm from Kansas, but I will try to not slip that up. So David wants to talk about fiat banks and the Federal Reserve. Welcome to the show. I'm sorry, Gerald, who is a Marine from Arkansas.
Yeah, Tom, listen, I'm a regular listener, watcher. I'm retired, and I spent 4 years in the Marine Corps from 60 to 64. I served under John F. Kennedy. So I was actually there on his assassination time. So wow. I'm part of history, not just reading about it. But I'm a student of history myself, and so
you go back to the warning from Eisenhower when he was getting out, when Kennedy was coming in, he warned about the military-industrial complex. And all this has been allowed to happen because of the fiat banking system. Because, look, whenever this all happened in 2008 when the word trillion came into play. I don't know if you privy to under the young Bush.
Right. Right. No, you're absolutely right. It was unheard of before. Please continue.
Paulson was his Secretary of Treasury. Remember, he came in and told Congress, oh, we got to do something, man. The whole thing's going to collapse. And you can trace this whole thing is a setup. But you can't do all these things worldwide without a fiat banking system, because the Constitution is still the supreme law of the land, but they've so neutered it down with their fraud. And Article 1, Section 10 says that no state shall make anything but gold and silver as a payment of debt. Well, that's why they used to have to come to the people to fund wars. They raise taxes. But now they just bypass all that. The Federal Reserve doesn't lend any money. They don't have any money to lend. It did just in a computer. It's a total farce.
So, you are so totally right. I mean, nobody had ever – and one thing I always like to point out, the Federal Reserve isn't even that old. It's barely 100 years old. Please continue your thought.
Yeah. It's not federal, and there is no reserve, but it is a system.
That's right. No, so tell me this. I mean, because this is something that a lot of us woke up to in 2008, then 2012. It sounds like you've been hip to this a whole lot longer. Of course, JFK tried to bring back a little bit of silver-backed currency, and we all know what happened. Tell us, how do we get out of this?
Well, the people have to be more of the patriot people, and InfoWars is instrumental in the tip of the spear. See, you got half this country has been converted over to the welfare recipient side. So they don't care about anything but just, you know, pay for everything, and I'll collect my check and stay home and watch television or whatever. So it's all a violation of our Constitution, and it's not taught anymore, Tom. They don't keep. Whenever I was growing up, it was part of civics class. The Constitution was considered supreme law of the land, and JFK, after his assassination, you notice that they never brought the culprits to pay for the crime. That's what's going on now. All the deep state is a bunch of traitors that have sold this country out, and the banking system has allowed that. Look, a president now, you got to spend trillions in Congress to. Millions at least to get elected to a job that only pays $200,000 a year. I mean, come on, you know, do the numbers.
No, you are so totally right. Thank you so much for calling. I mean, what you said is absolutely central, not just to coronavirus, not to just the economy, not to just Trump, but that's the everything. As you're right, you're totally right. You cannot pay for any of the garbage that our government does without this phony currency, without the ability to tax and spend, and the government gets to run up as much debt as it wants. I mean, eventually this craziness will stop. I know I sound like Dr. Ron Paul, but eventually this craziness has to stop, just because inertia can't go on forever. You know, there was a time in this country where everything, the entire government, was funded via tariffs. You might pay a couple cents extra on your imported rice or your imported whatever, but that was how we paid for literally every single thing in the United States. Now, of course, there's a tax on every single thing they can get their hands on, and they're trying to figure out more and more taxes every single day. You've got Bernie and Elizabeth Warren saying that they're going to tax the middle class or denying it, and then it comes out in their own data. I want to remind everybody, call in. We've got callers waiting, 877-789-2539, Veterans Only Today. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is The War Room. I'm Tom Papert, filling in for Owen Schroyer. We're still taking calls from our nation's veterans, but I'm being told the studio is being prepared for Owen's return on Monday. It looks like there they are. The crew is fumigating. Oh, it's beautiful. They're finally making it safe. The crew is there in studio in Austin, Texas, preparing for the return of Owen Schroyer. Obviously, we need to be very careful. Owen is not doing well. Diligently working to make sure this place is safe. They're in their hazmat suits. I hope those hazmat suits are worn Monday. Right. In fact, I think maybe Owen should just host in a hazmat suit. That'll solve the problem. There we go. Finally, we'll make it safe for Owen Schroyer's return. This was planned. I had no idea what I was getting into, by the way, folks. They told me to say they're getting it prepared for Owen, and they most certainly are. I think that I saw the Chinese aerosol in there. They're trying to kill the virus by spraying aerosol into the air. So now the InfoWars studio is safe. Owen will be able to return on Monday. We're still taking your calls. The crew is standing by to take your calls and get you into the system. The number, once again, for our nation's veterans is 877-789-2539. We have David back. David is a veteran who is from the Navy as well as the DIA. That is the Defense Intelligence Agency, for those who have never heard of that particular three-letter agency. David, welcome to the War Room.
How are you, brother? I just wanted to make a couple of comments about the nature of this virus. A lot of people have scoffed and said that there's no way that this can be. I'm not saying this is a bioweapon, but when people scoff and say that it's definitely not, they don't know what they're talking about. One of the things that people will say is that bioweapons have a lethality rate of 30% or higher. That's simply not true. They're just like there are different kinds of munitions, different kinds of bullets for different purposes. Bioweapons have always been trying to find this trifecta, these three categories, these three things that they really need a bioweapon to do to be effective. And that is, one, it must be airborne and highly contagious. Two, it should be have a relatively high lethality rate. And three, it has to have an incubation period during which time it is contagious. Because if you have that third criteria, even if your lethality rate is fairly low, this thing will be completely uncontainable. It'll be impossible for governments to deal with it. Now, we know that there's this level 4 biological lab in Wuhan, and we also know that a lot of terrorists and radical groups have been trying to recruit or radicalize people who work in those kind of labs. So those people are prime targets. If somebody was radicalized in that lab and they have a bone to pick with the Chinese government, let's say maybe they're a jihadist or something, or maybe they're radicalized for some other reason, maybe it's a socialist reason. You know, different people have different motivations. But if somebody in that lab was radicalized and they were able to snake a small amount of it out to punish China, maybe for these 1 to 2 million Muslims that are in, you know, basically prison camps, maybe for something else, maybe for the way that they're taking over some of the Southeast Asia islands. Who knows what it is? But the main takeaway here is that it could be a bioweapon. And if there's somebody in your community who came into your community, you remember that we're not getting news until a week later. I live in a community where everybody shakes hands and hugs and kisses each other on the cheek. Literally, our whole community, or 75% of our community, could be infected before anybody even knows that there's one case.
Now, that is key. And you are obviously a very intelligent person. The DIA, I mean, that's one of these agencies that it's been called the new NSA. So your intel is probably as good as it gets. So, and that you bring up another extremely good point, that this may not be a Chinese slip up. I mean, we don't know if it's a bioweapon or not. I want to make that clear. But if a terrorist group, I mean, there's millions of Uyghur Muslims who are being put into concentration camps in China right now. They're trying to expand into the South China Sea. They're trying to take over Hong Kong. They still hate Taiwan with a passion. China is still the reason why North Korea is able to continue existing. Plenty of people, plenty of poor, badly intentioned people have a good reason to be upset with China. So do you think if this is, and obviously you come from an intelligence background, if this were to be a bioweapon, again, we're not saying it is, you brought up some good points. There is no, you have to check these boxes for a bioweapon. How or would we ever find out? What would the government be doing to keep that knowledge from the public?
Well, one of the things that concerned me was the way China responded. So I was concerned 4 or 5 days ago when there was some video leaked out of Hong Kong of basically like looks like mosquito type trucks fumigating the empty streets in Wuhan. When I saw that, they're spraying an antiviral spray or something, maybe it's alcohol based, to try to kill anything that's either airborne or on surfaces. Now, the fact that they locked down 50 to 60 million people and they started doing that, they're obviously losing billions of dollars. If China cares about one thing, they care about money. And they're not going to lose billions of dollars unless they know that this is something very dangerous. So China knew what it was a long time ago, up to at least a week ago, and they haven't told anybody. So that's what concerns me. I think that they identified it, and they are scared to death of it, and they're taking these draconian steps to try to prevent the spread. That tells me they're scared. When governments are scared and the government's lying to the public about what's going on, I get concerned. So
right. So now tell me, of course, we just saw earlier today President Trump is leveling a travel ban on foreign travelers from China. There's going to be a 14-day quarantine where people will self-quarantine. I mean, is that enough? Is that going to be able to stamp this thing out and keep it from spreading into the United States?
I can't say a definite yes or no, but I'm skeptical. I think this thing could already be so far out of the box, it's impossible to contain. You know, the Lancet article that came out, I think, 2 or 3 days ago mentioned an 83% transmission rate and a 10 to 15% fatality rate. If that's correct, no, there's no way this thing is contained in the box. And it could go, your guest from National News, I think yesterday, I'm blanking on his name, he mentioned that this thing could become endemic. And if it is a 10%, you know, fatality rate across the population, it could become an endemic thing where everyone gets infected. You know, you won't be able to go get gas without exposing yourself. You won't be able to go pick up your prescription at the pharmacy without exposing yourself. If it is still contained, if it is still in the box or we have a ring around it, then, you know, maybe just avoiding places like schools, hospitals, grocery stores is enough. But to me, if it's as dangerous as the Chinese government is making me believe it is, then there's no way that's enough. No. And a 10% mortality rate is enough to devastate the world economy and panic everyone. And maybe it is just a terrorist tool. Maybe it's a deep state tool. But from what I'm seeing, when governments lie and deliberately misinform or deceive people, you have something to really worry about.
Now, don't go away. I want to hold you over to the next segment because you come from, I mean, obviously you're from an intelligence background. You sound like you're a fairly young guy, so I'm guessing this is fairly recent. I want to hear more of what you think the implications are here. There, of course, is the InfoWars crew fumigating the studio to make it safe for Owen on Monday. But no, this is key, and you've got a lot of good information. I want to keep you on. Don't hang up. You're watching The War Room. We'll be right back with our caller.
You're listening to the sworn enemy of fake news. It's The War Room.
Welcome back to The War Room. Crew is still busy making sure the studio is safe for Owen's habitation on Monday. We're going to get to all your calls. We have Corey, we have Eric, we have Rob, but I want to continue with David. He's a veteran. He was in the Navy, and then it seems like more recently he was at the DIA, which is a somewhat ominous agency that the government has. We all finally learned what the NSA does. We're still not so sure about the DIA. And of course, David is breaking down the implications of China being this concerned with the coronavirus. He just told us that just because it's not as fatal as some would assume a bioweapon could be, that does not mean this is not a bioweapon. It doesn't mean it is. Doesn't mean it isn't. But, David, you have some key, absolutely fantastic intel. So here's my question. I mean, you have a good handle on this. The Lancet study calculates that almost 76,000 individuals are infected right now in mainland China. The official government numbers are under 10,000. This could spread all across the globe. There's already been cases in the UK. There's been cases in the United States. There's been cases in France. There's been cases all throughout Asia. This has some devastating potential. Now, so you're forecasting, if this doesn't get contained, possible economic doom and gloom. And I think we can all see that over the horizon. How long would something like this take to burn itself out naturally?
Well, I don't think something like this will burn itself out. It could become endemic where close to the whole population has been exposed. Let's just walk through like a little scenario, though. And of course, the Bill Gates connection is suspicious, but the study that he did, the movie that he funded, that's suspicious, but that's not proof. So don't pigeonhole yourself into just one theory, because there are other possibilities out there too. You really need proof before you can, you know, just tie your wagon to something. And one of the things that I did with DIA was I tracked and traced and tried to find and get to the bottom of terrorist organizations. So I was mostly an anti-terrorism guy. Terrorist groups have been trying to get a hold of one of these bioweapons, either through radicalizing scientists or through stealing them for a long time. If they did, and they did get this out, you know what jihadists are after, right? And hopefully this is basic knowledge for everyone, but they want global chaos, and they want the 10th imam to come into power. In order for that to happen, they have to cause all kinds of hell and you know, things to break out all over the world. So your question, though, about how does this thing burn itself out? Well, that's one of the key elements of a good bioweapon, is it cannot burn itself out. Something like Ebola can burn itself out because it presents symptoms very quickly. Almost every carrier dies, and it's easier to contain. Governments can get a handle on that, figure out who has had close contact with somebody else. Something like this, it's clearly airborne. The Chinese government knows it's airborne because they were spraying something all over the streets in Wuhan. They know that it sticks to surfaces. Many viruses can survive on a surface for up to 24 hours. Usually it's less, but they can live up to 24 hours. What if this thing is engineered to live on surfaces for 48 hours? What if you go grab the, what if you hit the ATM pad at the grocery store, or you're checking out, you punch your PIN in, and you just expose yourself, then you take it home to your family. All the information we have is a week old, at least. So
right.
Lancet, I think it was around a week ago, 4 or 5 days ago. Now, Lancet was saying we had, there were maybe 10,000 cases, and the Chinese government was saying 800. Now, fast forward a few days, Chinese government is saying, how many are they saying now? Lancet's saying
under,
70
just
or
under
10,000.
Right.
10,000. So that's a week old. So where are we going to be from a week from now? Because that's what's happening today, is what we'll hear about in 1 week. These tests take a couple of days from what I understand. You have to do DNA, RNA sequencing to identify it, from what I've read. It's not like a pregnancy test. So it could be all over the place. It could be too late already. And if it is, well, probably the best thing you can do for yourself is strengthen your immune system. You know, take your vitamins, take your X2, take your, you know, anything that'll boost your immune system, because you don't want to be one of those 10%.
Right. So, I mean, this is, your information is absolutely killer. Thank you so much for calling in. Please feel free to reach out at nationalfile@protonmail.com. I'd love to talk more, but I have another question. If you're a terrorist and you want to cause this chaos, why, and I think I already know part of the answer, but I want you to spell it out for the audience. I'm sure they get it too. Why would you pick China? I could obviously come up with 50 reasons off the top of my head, but obviously they hate America, they hate the West, but why is China such a good target to hit if this is a bioweapon?
Well, that's easy. Population density and mass transit.
Right. And of course, they're parts of the China where, you know, their water source is a river, or their water source is, you know, they don't have running water. They don't have infrastructure. Do you have a lot of faith? And then we'll let you go. Do you have a lot of faith in the Chinese government's ability to eventually start just telling the actual truth? Or do you think they are?
I don't think that they are. I think that they have, if any country has the capacity to contain it, though, it's probably China, because they have no qualms using draconian methods. They're, they're basically a police state. They can control their population as much as they want. They can stop travel. But keep in mind, one thing that China doesn't want to do is lose money. Money is the number one priority in China. And, you know, nothing against Chinese people, but this is the communist Chinese government. That's the problem. And right now, they're obviously losing billions of dollars. That tells me the risk is much higher than billions of dollars. So they're looking at the risk versus reward. Hey, if we stop the economy in this whole area, what do we lose? I don't know, $5 billion. What do we do? What do we lose if we don't? Obviously a lot more. So do I think they're telling the truth? No, I don't think you can trust a single thing that comes out of the official party line. There's absolutely, I have zero confidence in it.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. I want to get to these other callers, but your information is absolutely key. I mean, somebody from the intelligence community calling in, you cannot beat that here on The War Room. Thank you again for calling in. Again, if you would like, reach out, nationalfile@protonmail.com. Of course, that offer goes to anybody. You can find that if you go to nationalfile.com. It's right on the front page of the website. I would love to hear more and see if there is some way we can spread this information. Thank you again, David, for calling in. I really, really appreciate this info, and I hope the viewers and listeners do as well. And to dovetail with what David was just talking about, he specifically mentioned X2 can boost your immune system. You can get the Winter Sun at InfoWarsStore.com to boost your immune system. You can, of course, get storable food, so you don't have to go to the grocery store and use that pin pad where somebody might have been infected and touched it 2 days ago before they're even symptomatic, and you could wind up getting it. InfoWarsStore.com is going to be, as we are in, I mean, if this is half as big as our caller thinks it is, then we're in deep, deep trouble, and we need to be very, very concerned. Get the immune gargle. Boost your immune system. If this is airborne, that's a good way. It's silver that you can actually ingest. Of course, you don't want to do that with the wound gel, or bad, bad things will happen. But get the immune gargle. Get X2. Get the B12. Get everything that can help support your immune system. Live a healthy life. Eat lots of fruits and vegetables, and go, of course, get the storable food that'll last for 25 years. Look, if our caller is wrong, if Mike Adams is wrong, if Alex Jones' gut is wrong, we're all going to be very, very happy. If my gut is wrong, and my gut tells me that, yes, this could end up being huge, we're all going to be very, very thrilled. It would be the best thing in the world if David is wrong, if our caller, if Mike, it'd be fantastic. What's the worst thing that can happen if you go to InfoWars.com and buy food that's going to last 25 years and we're wrong? Well, you're going to have food that's going to last 25 years. You just did a fantastic thing to ensure your family's security. What's going to happen if you buy the immune gargle and have a good way to boost your immune system while you're traveling or while it's cold and flu season? Well, you're going to do a very, very good thing for your health. Same if you buy the Winter Sun at InfoWarsStore.com. Same if you buy the X2 at InfoWarsStore.com. This is stuff that you want to get anyway. It will make you healthier. It will make your family healthier. It will give your family peace of mind. Now is a good time to do it. We're in crunch time. If our caller is even 10% correct, this is absolutely crunch time. It is vital that you protect your family. We will be right back. To the final segment of The War Room. I am Tom Papert, filling in for Owen Schroyer. Of course, you can read my work at nationalfile.com, where I am editor-in-chief. We're going to continue with our calls. We've got about three people left on the line. We will get to you before the show ends, but there is some breaking news that just happened within the last half hour. It appears that President Trump has authorized an airstrike on the al-Qaeda chief in Yemen. That is, of course, near Saudi Arabia. They've been engaged in a conflict for a very long time. It is believed that the airstrike was successful, and the leader of al-Qaeda there has been killed. Of course, it was earlier this month, President Trump launched the strikes against Soleimani in Iran. Of course, that was actually in Iraq. But it appears that this airstrike was, again, successful. And say what you will about all of these military engagements, President Trump seems to be very effective at not putting boots on the ground and actually taking these people out. Of course, we had Obama bombing weddings with drones. Those poor people bombed in the middle of a wedding. But of course, President Trump seems to be very, very successful in his targeted airstrikes, as we've seen since the first one in Syria that took out an airfield. Did not seem to kill a single person, if a memory serves. Additionally, Zero Hedge, one of the leading alternative news websites in the world for a very, very, very long time, has now been suspended by Twitter, undoubtedly for the crime of wrongthink. We're still waiting to learn what egregious offense they may have committed against His Holiness Jack Dorsey and the Twitter Gestapo, but it appears Zero Hedge has been suspended from Twitter, one of the key leading alternative news sites for probably over a decade at this point. So breaking news, you're going to be able to read about this all in detail at InfoWars.com, NewsWars.com, as well as National File. But this is breaking information. We wanted to be able to get to our audience. We're going to finish up taking these calls. Thank you to everybody who has called in. I wish we could do the show for another 3 hours and get a million more veterans on. But let's go to Corey, who is a Navy veteran from Nevada. Corey, welcome to the War Room.
Hey, how's it going, homie?
Going great, Corey. What's on your mind?
All right. First off, I don't know what your little studio looks like all quarantined, but it'll be kind of neat to see Owen rolled back in on a hospital bed like E.T. going in there. Everyone's got their suits on and everything. He says, Alex. Then they touch fingers, and then bam, Owen jumps up out of there, breaks into a little disco bug and everything. I don't know. Now, it was just something on my mind while I was still waiting.
You're giving Owen way too many ideas. You're giving the crew way too many ideas. If you see this on Monday, you're going to be able to take credit. I could see something like that happening at this point. But I know you've got some thoughts on the coronavirus. Now, I think that Owen should absolutely do that. I think that would be hilarious. But what are your thoughts? We've got about 2 minutes. I want to finish up these calls. Let us know give us your take on the coronavirus.
All right. It's not really the coronavirus that I'm like really worried about. It's people's reaction to it. Mm-hmm. I have been I have about 3 months of like sober food bought directly from you guys. With the vast amount of confusion with this going on, that going on, this going on, that going on, this is the level of mass confusion that could only be found in like the wettest of dreams from Karl Marx.
Mm. No, that is so true. I mean, it is we literally have no idea what's going on. That's how these people gain power. That's what our last caller said. That's how, for example, the jihadists gain power. It does make you wonder if there's something related to their strike in Yemen with all of this happening. But you're 100% correct. And in these times of crisis, we know that the left capitalizes on it. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And that underinformed people, certainly no one in this audience, are going to look to the government and say, Daddy government, protect me. Put me in a FEMA camp. Put me in a breadline. Give me universal health care so I can go to the hospital if I have coronavirus. So you bring up such a good point. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Eric, who is an Army veteran out of Arkansas. He's been holding the longest. Eric, we've got about 3 minutes. What is on your mind, my friend?
Oh, okay. All right. Let me just get down to some of this coronavirus stuff. Now, when this is all over, you have to look at if China's going to start pointing fingers at the U.S., blaming them for a biological attack. Now, if they can do this, we're part of this New World Order agenda going on. You know, can they convince the other side of the world to join them or their efforts against the U.S.? Now, we've dodged the bullet as far as becoming a North American union with Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. You know, thankful to Trump for busting some of that up. But, you have to think of it as, will that happen? You know, will they point, he did this or he did that? Or back and forth.
That's actually a great point. If they point at us and say, you can't trust the United States anymore, the United States just killed God knows how many people, I could certainly see that happening. And of course, they're looking for any way they can to stamp out the populist uprising that's happening all across the world. And as we said a moment ago, the globalists, the communists, whatever you want to call these people, they're Satan worshiping demons is what they are. But their number one rule is never let a good crisis go to waste. And China, which is hell bent on world domination, will almost certainly not let this crisis go to waste. Such a good point. I wish we could have you on longer. We're running out of time. Let's go to our final call for today. It's the last Friday of the month. We take calls from veterans exclusively on the last Friday of the month. Let's go to Rob, who is a Navy veteran from Houston, Texas. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hello. I'll be quick. I'm more worried about the USMCA right now, because there's a poison pill in there that leaves us subject to the WTO, plus we lose outright control over our borders and our petroleum, because Mexico actually has their petroleum control enumerated in the treaty. And I don't think Trump knows what's going on with it. It's supposed to be some guy named Robert Lightner or somebody like this, been a 20-year CFR guy that's writing it up for him. And there's these poison pills inside the USMCA.
You know, I've heard about this before, and it is a real concern. I mean, look, we know Trump has apparently unintentionally, I have to believe it's unintentionally, he's accidentally surrounded himself with some of the worst possible globalists, some of the worst possible deep state GOP establishment people. We're seeing that played out with the impeachment trial, where we have Cherumella, who is an Obama guy, who is basically, from what we can tell, oh, we don't know if he's the whistleblower, he's the reason why all of this is happening. We had Bolton in there. Now Bolton is trying to get the president impeached by leaking his top secret book. How is that book getting leaked if not by John Bolton himself? I have no earthly idea. But so we've got about a minute left. Tell us, what is your greatest fear with the USMCA now that it's been signed into law?
Add to this once they get over the impeachment, how much more relaxed the Senate will be ready to pass that thing. And then, the epidemic, it all of a sudden burns out. And now everybody's relaxed, and they have no idea what's going on with this USMCA.
That is such a good point. And, you know, I personally have to hope that President Trump knows what he's doing when it comes to trade. That is his key promise. One of them from 2016 was to either kick out or renegotiate NAFTA. Of course, this is the apparent renegotiation, USMCA. The Democrats sat on it for an absurdly long time, but we don't know. Is that because it's really good, or is that because the Democrats didn't want to give Trump what would be perceived as a victory? And even when they did finally allow this thing to go through, when Nancy allowed it to hit the floor, she then tried to take all the credit for it as though this was all her idea. It was all the Wicked Witch of the West coming up with USMCA. I don't buy it, and it does certainly make you very, very wary. We've got to start getting better trade deals, but at least Trump got us out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP. At least Trump, thank God, he pulled us out of the Paris Accords. That seems to be working out very well for Macron, who still has protests every single weekend all throughout his country. Regardless, I mean, President Trump is not perfect. Boris Johnson is not perfect. Jair Bolsonaro is not perfect. All these populist leaders, Viktor Orban, not perfect. We are still seeing a populist uprising throughout the planet. And if we all don't get taken out by coronavirus going to pandemic levels, then hopefully we can enjoy it and we can keep getting this world going in the right direction. We are winning. We need your support. InfoWarsStore.com. Keep Owen in the chair. Keep Alex in the chair. Keep everything going. We are trying to expand. Alex says it every single day, and he is not kidding, ladies and gentlemen. So as you can see, the studio is being prepared for Owen Schroyer to return on Monday. They're doing everything they can to make it habitable and kill any coronavirus that may have been tracked in. I've been Tom Papert, hosting for Owen Schroyer. Read nationalfile.com to see what I get up to on a daily basis. And as always, stay classy, Info Warriors. We'll see you next week.